A Republican candidate for Congress in Wisconsin was legal counsel for a company alleged to run a Ponzi scheme. It's Friday, February 13th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, community members are rallying behind a Madison restaurant owner now in ICE detention. And WPR's Daniel Kading tells us about a Wisconsin native on a year-long quest to eat only what he can forage from the land.
As I'm out foraging, I'm falling in love with all of these plants and falling in love with the earth.
Stay with us.
Help students start and stay writing with Woopin Soccer, a free multimedia resource from PBS Wisconsin Education and UW-Madison School of Education. Collaborative arts-based activities and lessons are designed to help learners build confidence in writing and see how extraordinary their ideas are. Visit pbswisconsineducation.org to explore the Woopin Soccer collection today.
A Republican running for Congress in northern Wisconsin was involved in a $44 million settlement after investors alleged he represented a company orchestrating a Ponzi scheme. Rich Kramer has more.
Paul Wasgren was an attorney in California representing a real estate firm that came under scrutiny by federal regulators in 2020. They accused the company of raising $170 million through fraudulent unregistered securities. A subsequent class action lawsuit from investors alleged Wasgren facilitated contracts he knew were not legal. Marquette Law School professor Bruce Boyden says the case's $44 million settlement could be about avoiding prolonged court battles or higher penalties ordered by juries.
The higher the settlement value, the more likely it is that they were thinking there's some chance we might lose a trial and therefore we should pay some amount of money now to stop this case.
A spokesperson for Wasgren's campaign said the allegations were unfounded fabrications from, quote, financial ambulance chaser lawyers. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Neighbors and other community members are rallying around the owner of a Madison restaurant after he was detained by immigration authorities. Noel Quintana owns Señor Machete's Mexican Grill in downtown Madison. After learning that he had been taken into custody, neighbors launched fundraisers for Quintana's family. One GoFundMe describes him as a loving father and a supporter of local businesses. Records show he was booked into an Indiana jail late last month on an immigration hold. According to a post from State Representative Francesca Hong, immigration officials stopped Quintana at O'Hare Airport. Hong, a Democratic candidate for governor, called his detention a, quote, terrifying act of racism. 20 years ago, Quintana pleaded no contest to a felony cocaine charge in Dane County. Earlier this month, he applied for a pardon. In a statement, ICE officials said the federal government can revoke a green card if someone breaks the law. They said Quintana will remain in Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention pending deportation proceedings. Assembly Republicans yesterday approved a bill that would penalize state colleges and universities if they're found to restrict free speech. Supporters argued it would strengthen First Amendment protections at the universities of Wisconsin. As written, the bill would make it easier for students or employees to sue the Board of Regents or the UW over perceived rights violations. But Democrat Angela Stroud of Ashland said the bill scapegoats universities for political divisions.
The underlying problem here isn't one that can be solved by the punitive and misguided measures in this bill. Instead, it's a widespread cultural problem throughout our country.
The bill came after a 2023 survey that found that conservative students are a minority on UW campuses and sometimes feel uncomfortable speaking up. Republicans said the bill would improve civil dialogue. Do you have an ex that's a thorn in your side? As Steph Conquest Ware reports, a Wisconsin conservation group says it's using a quirky Valentine's Day fundraiser to, quote, turn heartbreak into habitat restoration.
For the price of $5, the Waukesha County Land Conservancy will chop down an invasive buckthorn tree. Volunteers will then write your ex's name on the stump and spray it with herbicides so it never grows back. They say it's a therapeutic way to combat a troublesome invasive species that's degrading Wisconsin's natural areas. Helen Holtz is the Conservancy's land management director. She says she came up with the fundraiser idea on a whim last week.
The more people who get involved, who start learning about invasive species and their local ecosystems, the better. And if it's a funny way of doing that, then that's okay.
She jokes people in Waukesha County have, quote, quite the vendetta against their exes. So far, more than 60 have signed on. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
GOP leaders are talking openly about negotiating a big property tax deal with Democratic Governor Tony Evers. It could happen as soon as next week, or not at all. WPR's Anya Van Wagt and Donk and Rich Kramer joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson for this breakdown.
So Rich, Anya, it's February. I feel like this often sneaks up on people, but the State Assembly could actually adjourn for the year next week. So we have this deadline coming up. They can be motivating. And this year, that deadline seems to be getting our governor and our powerful assembly speaker to talk. Anya, what are they talking about?
They are talking about a deal to reduce property taxes. Those rates are the highest they've been in years, and homeowners are definitely talking about it. And there's this relationship between why the taxes are so high and schools. Property taxes are part of how schools get funded. And Evers did this thing during the 2023 budget process where local revenue limits for schools, it was supposed to be increased for 2 years, and Evers made it so now it is increased for four centuries. So basically, that has opened the door for local school boards to raise property taxes without going to referendum indefinitely. And Evers said he did what he needed to do to make sure that schools would be adequately funded. And so now there's this negotiation about trading tax relief for school funding. The details we've seen so far are basically that Governor Evers would allow a certain amount of money to go towards no tax on tips and a school tax levy credit. And in exchange, Republicans would release money for general school aid and special education reimbursement.
So Rich, that openness from Robin Voss to cut a deal, that is kind of surprising, right? I mean, what's he said in the past about the 400-year veto, and why is that something that matters so much to Republicans?
So Voss said last month that any tax cut deal with Evers and Democrats would have to include a repeal of the 400-year veto. So the change is notable. Republicans have been complaining about that veto for the last 2 years, and they've also blamed essentially all property tax increases in the state on Evers, and they've attacked Democrats for supporting what he did back in 2023. The thing is, when it comes to property taxes, there are a lot of factors at play, but Republicans are clearly trying to tie any of those increases to Evers' veto at a time when affordability is front and center on the minds of voters.
Okay, so the governor is talking. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is talking. We always refer to him as the legislature's most powerful Republican. But I think this is where we have to be reminded that there are two chambers of the legislature and a leader in the Senate who maybe has his own ideas.
Yeah, I'll give a quick throwback to Schoolhouse Rock. A bill becomes a law by passing both chambers and then getting signed. So if the Assembly is on board and the governor is on board, that is only two parts of that equation. The Senate, by which I mean Senate Republicans, also need to be on board. And Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue has said in no uncertain terms that he will not accept any deal that doesn't include a full repeal of that veto.
And just watching the way this unfolded on Wednesday, that morning, Speaker Voss told reporters he's willing to talk with the governor. Sounded like somebody who wanted to cut a deal. A few hours later, Senator Lemahue told CBS 58, well, actually, we won't support a deal that does not get rid of this 400-year veto. And then 2 hours after that, Senate Republicans introduced their own proposal for what to do with the state's surplus. What's in that, Rich?
Tax rebates for every Wisconsinite. Lemahue's bill would give individual taxpayers $500 rebates, and the rebate for married couples would be $1,000. This cash would come in by September 15th, or just less than 2 months before the midterm elections.
So a big new proposal here as we're wrapping up session. Let's sum this up. Evers and Voss are maybe willing to pass the governor's bill. Lemahue, maybe not. If the Senate passes its own bill and the Assembly sticks with the governor, what happens?
Functionally, nothing happens. The clock runs out and everyone runs off to run their campaigns for the rest of the year. But when they do that, they get to say that they did something or try to do something. And they also get a few free options of who else to blame on the campaign trail as well.
That was WPR's Anya Van Wagt and Donk and Rich Kramer. They spoke with political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, we meet a man who's been foraging for food for an entire year in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about foraging food in Wisconsin.
Robin Greenfield gave up going to the grocery store last fall. Now, the Wisconsin native is only eating what he can forage from the land for an entire year. He began harvesting and storing foods last summer and kicked off his year-long quest in October. Wisconsin Public Radio's Danielle Kading met up with Greenfield in northern Wisconsin to find out more.
On a frigid winter day, I walk down a snow-covered path to Robin Greenfield's temporary home on a friend's property in Washburn.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
He invites me into the small dwelling and offers to make some tea. Greenfield says it's made with mint and leaves from basswood flowers that he harvested over the summer in downtown Washburn.
So that's where the basswood flowers are from, and then the mountain mint. This I actually harvested in a park in Maryland. There.
Last year, Greenfield began foraging 100% of his food and medicine for a year. Each day, he makes a pot of food that he eats for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He says food that he's harvested in Wisconsin makes up the foundation of his diet.
This is what I'm eating today, for example. I have wild rice with salmon. There's just, you know, a big chunk of salmon in here from Lake Superior. This has stinging nettle, salt, some herbs and spices.
He says one of the main reasons for his foraging journey is a belief that people are separate from the earth.
And for me, foraging is a way to really deeply connect with the earth, to really find a home here, to really develop the deepest sense of belonging. And it's also a practice of love. As I'm out foraging, I'm falling in love with all of these plants and falling in love with the earth.
He also says it's an act of resistance against what he calls a broken industrial food system. Around 30-40% of the food supply is wasted nationwide. In Wisconsin, around 900,000 tons of food waste were thrown into landfills in 2024. With salmon, for example, Greenfield says he tries to use as much of the fish as possible.
My food is unique from the average person, not because I foraged it all, but because of my desire to utilize it in the way that's the most beneficial to the body and to the ecosystem.
This isn't the first time Greenfield foraged food for a year. 7 years ago, he turned front yards into gardens in Florida. But this time, he's not growing any of his food.
It's food and medicine that is growing without the intentional planting of it by human beings.
Wooden shelves of mason jars contain plants he's harvested for medicinal purposes that include white vervain, hawkweed, and Joe Pye weed. He uses an electric dehydrator to preserve much of his food. Greenfield says he also uses water bath canning for applesauce and a freezer for storing venison and fish as he pulls out a plastic bucket.
These are wild parsnips, and these are stored in a bucket of wet sand, and that keeps these good for multiple months.
Not all of the food he's foraged comes from Wisconsin. He collected water from the Atlantic Ocean in Maine that he made into salt by boiling it on the stove until the water evaporated. He says there's not much he misses, but he has lost some weight.
You know, when you give up the Ben and Jerry's pints, you're going to lose some weight. There's just no way around that.
But he's not too worried about getting sick or dying from anything he's harvested.
It's possible that me choosing to practice this deep level of relationship with the earth and letting go a lot of modern things, that it could end up being my demise. But the odds of that are really unlikely, and we'll take that if and when it happens.
He says his goal is to help more people start foraging for food.
My encouragement to people is just one plant at a time. Learn the foods and medicines, start to incorporate them into your diet.
If more people harvest food in a safe and sustainable way, he says that can benefit the earth and maybe lead to less waste in the landfill.
WPR's Danielle Kading brought us that story on forager Robin Greenfield. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now for a look at the forecast. Today, sunny to partly cloudy and pleasant with daytime highs reaching around the mid-40s. And then tonight, partly cloudy, and expect a significant drop in temperatures as lows reach between 10 and 20 degrees. And then over the weekend, expect spring-like weather with temperatures between the 40s and 50s, as well as some partly cloudy skies. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Rob Benser. We'll talk to you again next week.